The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Well, welcome in. WEEI Afternoons, I'm Christian Arcand. Andy Hart, not here at Fenway with me, but I'm coming to you live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. And it's brought to you by our New England Ford dealers, the freedom of choice, shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Andy Hart from Parts Unknown here as well. We got you, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
We've got him. We've got Andy. Great. Terrific. And we also have maybe little bit there, a little bit of optimism in the air. That was Mike Mayocco, who is on with Tommy Curran there on the Patriots Talk podcast and discussing this upcoming matchup here with the San Francisco 49ers. And saying, maybe not that the Patriots are going to win this game, but that it's a pretty good time to be facing the 49ers with all the injuries that they have and everything else. He went on to say some more things, and we'll get to that. But that's where we want to start here. But before we even get to any of that, did you happen to hear the Dietrich Wise interview just before we were on here? Did you hear that with Jones and Keefe today, Andy?
I did not. What did I miss?
So they asked Dietrich Wise who his favorite San Francisco 49er was, because that's a thing they do in the four-pack, right? On the Friday four-pack, they have a favorite player from the opposing team. So they asked Dietrich Wise, and Brian, if you have this, they asked him who his favorite 49er was, and just, we thought Tommy Curran does long pregnant pauses. Listen to this.
Do you have a favorite 49er or a player you like to watch on San Francisco when you were younger?
Do-do-do.
I'm going to say no.
That sounds like a no.
Hello?
Yeah, that's a no.
Oh, nobody?
Wow.
That was 7 seconds. 7 seconds of ignoring the question before finally coming back and just saying, yeah, it's going to be a no, I don't have one, I'm not. He was there the whole time, which they alluded to, which I thought made it that much funnier. But that was Tommy Curran on his worst day doesn't let it sit that long. That was that was truly spectacular.
And that seems almost personal and pointed in nature.
Maybe, yeah. Like, maybe a little bit.
That might change my pick. If Dietrich Wise has a lifelong vendetta against the San Francisco 49ers.
A blood feud with San Francisco.
Right. Like, is there something I need to know here? Because that might
affect I'm going to say no.
That sounds like a no.
Might be.
Yeah, probably not.
At first, I just assumed he got cut off.
Right, that's what I thought. I thought, oh, he must have dropped off. They thought that, too. They thought they lost the call. But no, he was there. He was there.
No, he hates them.
Either he hates them or he hates Jones and Keefe. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Hello?
Well, I mean, that would be understandable.
Certainly. Now, with Jones, and I've worked with Jones, obviously, for a long time, Jones now has had that happen to him. He's had a toilet been flushed on him in an interview with Stephon Gilmore. In the middle of the interview, he just flushed the toilet.
That's a no.
And Danny Amendola hung up on him once. So now, whenever he interviews a Patriot for some reason, there's this sort of thing. I don't know if they all know about
it. Do you think
they
talk about him?
Right, yeah, like, hey, yeah, you're talking to Jones today? All right, let's do something
Words
funny.
Out.
You flush the toilet. You hang up on him. You just don't answer one of the questions that he asks for 7 seconds. I think there's a thing going on there with the Patriots and Jones. I do.
Next question.
Right? Answer. I mean, I don't know that that's happened to anybody else. I mean, Belichick used to be tough asking questions too, right? He used to be, he'd stonewall people. But it seems like with Jones, there's this sort of concerted thing. Like, you know, they're all kind of in. Let's mess around with Jones a little bit. I think there's something to that.
I'm going
to
say no.
Why are we taking Keefe off the hook? It's a tandem there. So they're a couple. They're a pair. They're a tag team.
That's true. Jones did ask that particular question, though. And also, Jones had the previous things happen there with Gilmore and Amendola. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly who was with him at the time. But yeah.
Rich Keefe has a history with John Farrell that would
That's a good point. Right here in this,
yes,
in this studio he did.
Some people don't care for his line of questioning or tone of questioning at times. I will say, it was a good thing he's on the line because he's not exactly Keon White. There's more smile, but Dietrich Wise is an imposing figure in his own right. And if he if that were in person and he were just staring at you for 7 seconds, I feel like that would feel like 107 seconds.
7 seconds? That's how long, like, a bull
rider
rides
a bull. You gotta stay on a bull. Yeah, exactly. You're the greatest in the world. So that's interesting. I feel like we need to get a little deeper into that because
you have a favorite 49er or a player you like to watch on San Francisco when you were younger?
So great. Nothing.
Hello?
I would have thought at this point, after 3 seconds,
no.
That sounds like
there's
a no.
no way, right?
Hello?
Yeah, that's a no.
Oh,
nobody?
Wow.
So can we reverse engineer this?
Keith's surprise at the end, too. Wow.
Hilarious. Well,
is it possible that, like, you and I were talking about this kind of that late 80s, early 90s, you were into baseball cards, you were into, you know, early fantasy baseball, maybe you had
right.
it, but could his age align with a gap in the 40, like, they had that crappy phase. Is it possible that they were just not a notable, because we all think of, like, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, but then you can get into T.O. or whatever, Colin Kaepernick, I mean, whoever you want. They had various right. Super Bowl eras.
Well, he does sort of continue and answer the question if you want me to play it.
Oh, yeah. What do you get there?
That's a no.
Oh, nobody?
Yeah. Wow.
No Jerry Rice? You didn't like Jerry Rice?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's my favorite player. I watched him, his highlights, things like that. I used to watch Armstead and DeForest Buckner when I was in college.
There you go.
So nice. They,
not going back.
They're like a few years older than me, so I kind of watched them when I was coming into the league. But
all right, so fine. Then he did kind of answer the question, but he didn't say any of them were like his favorite. So who was your favorite 49er? There was nothing.
That's just no. That was
silence. I am not even going to acknowledge that. I'm not going to. It's like you didn't even ask me that. I thought that was a tremendous piece of content today.
There's also the possibility you brought up Belichick. He may have been pulling a Belichick, and for all I know, like checking his email or something at the
sure.
time. He's like, oh shoot, was there a question? What was the question?
That's a no.
49ers, yeah, the 49ers. Great, I love them all. All very good. Jerry Rice, right. Yeah, whatever, I don't know. So there you go. But yeah, that was excellent. And maybe, hey, listen, any Dietrich Wise prop bets we can get in on here if there's some added motivation with this team or some sort of feud, as you alluded to, that maybe goes back that we don't even know about. That could be the inside information that you only get here on WEEI Afternoons. 617-779-7937 is the phone number here. Let's hit on what Mike Mayocco said there with Tommy Curran, which is that this is a good time for the Patriots to be playing the 49ers. You can't really deny that, right? I mean, this is definitely, in terms of for this team and for that team, they have a bunch of guys banged up. They have a very important skill position offensive players banged up. And if you believe, you know, if you believe the headlines here, they're 1-2 and a team that is looking to get right. But it's hard to get right when your best players are all out. Patriots are some injuries themselves here as well. But do you agree that this is the right time or a good time for the Patriots to be facing this team?
You tell me I can't argue against that, and I say, why can't I? And I shall show you. No, I absolutely think that your potential advantage is gone. This is not a trap game for the 49ers. They have a losing record. They lost their last game. They gagged it away. They're not playing good football. They don't have their best players. So any hope you had of, like, sneaking in the back door and them not realizing you're actually a competitive football team, that's gone. What was the quote from Bosa? We need to feel this loss last week. Mm-hmm. Like, they are emotionally invested in trying not to watch their... They're one of the many teams, by the way. There's a bunch of teams that are, like, kind of on the brink. Is our season getting out of control in a negative direction? Like, 0-3, 1-2. If we go 1-3 or other teams go 0-4, like the Bengals, your season might be digging a hole you can't get out of. And I think they know that in San Francisco. And I think that's actually a bad thing for the New England Patriots. And I would also argue that the reports of their demise are a little bit exaggerated. Their starting quarterback is starting. They have a running back who's run really well. They don't have the guy that, you know, could be a league MVP type candidate or whatever.
Yeah, they have a pretty good running back. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's great, but they have a pretty good running back.
One of their wide receivers is out. The guy you wanted to trade for and give $100 million whatever dollars to is still there. And some other guy that no one's ever heard of just had 175 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. Their tight end, who is one of the better all-around tight ends in football and the centerpiece of a documentary in the offseason, is feeling better than he's felt in a while. Sounds like he's going to play. He's a little weird, so I don't know if you want to take what he says at face value. But
banged up, disappears sometimes too. I mean, there's been plenty of
but
times
also
where he hasn't turned up.
Could also eat the lunch of the middle of this Patriots defense that has
like
been
pretty
poor. Like
those two Jets tight ends did, and they did that. I mean, that was, and they're not as good as George Kittle.
They are not George Kittle. So I actually think this is a bad, bad spot for the Patriots. I think there's a wounded, literally wounded 49ers team that is dangerous right now and looking to save their own season, and in doing so are probably looking to prove a point against a team that is quite inferior and also quite banged up. Like, we're going to get into it later. We may have to learn yet another left tackle. I know you're all excited because he's huge, so we got that going for us. I don't know
mountain.
If he can play. He's a practice squatter. Who knows if he can actually play? And there's all these other, like, little injuries that are popping up in the injury report, guys that are key figures for a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, that are big names, critical players that are limited in practice. So, no, I do not think the 49ers are ripe for the picking. I think they are ripe to lay a beating.
They are going to be motivated, absolutely. Aren't the Patriots trying to save their season, too? Like, is there no thought to that?
We'll
like, is that... I mean, because if you take away the Niners, not their all their best players, as you said, a bunch of them are still playing. But if you take away a few of their important guys, which clearly some of them aren't playing. Although Samuel practiced yesterday, didn't he?
Yes, but
didn't Debo practice?
He did practice.
He's going to go.
Seems like he's one of those guys that's building this week to then return next week, kind of thing.
Well, that's sort of overlooking the Patriots a bit, then, isn't it? Like, yeah, we'll build you up here. We don't need you against New England, but we'll make sure you're ready for next week.
I think that's a traditional tactic on the injury report. If you really look at guys that did not practice, then they're limited sometimes late 1 week, don't play, and then limited to start the next week and build towards playing. I think it's kind of a traditional recovery arc, but. Okay, so the 49ers are banged up. McCaffrey's not out there. Fine. Debo's not out there. If you do a draft, I always love to do this.
Yes.
NBA series, we do this all the time. Who's the first pick? Who's the second pick? How many picks before you get to the other team kind of thing? Aren't most of the picks coming from the 49ers still?
Yeah, I'd say the first four or five maybe would come from the 49ers, I'd say.
So I'm not going to shed a tear. I'm not going to shed a tear. Oh, they're so banged
up. That's three. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Bosa and Warner are two of the best players in football.
Right.
Absolute best players in football. Brandon Ayuk,
I like their safety, but I don't know if I like him more than the Patriots safeties. I think, what's his name?
Okay.
Hufanga, like he's good, but I don't know if he's much better than Duggar or Peppers.
It might not be much better, but at least you have a debate. How about the wide receiver position? Who's the first
wide receiver
drafted?
Is not even close. I mean, you take Ayuk first, then you take probably take Jennings second, even though he's only really had that one game. It's better than anything the Patriots guys have done.
That's
in the offensive line, you'd mostly go that way, too.
Trent Williams,
might
have heard of him.
Got paid and is going to be playing for sure. Kittle banged up versus Hunter Henry. I mean, you know, that could be debatable.
Okay,
there.
I'll give you a wash.
Running back, I'd say, is maybe advantage Patriots.
I don't know about that advantage. Does he hold on to the ball or does he get it out of his hands quickly, as Alex Van Pelt wants people to do?
That's something that Ramondre Stevenson's certainly been doing. I don't know the fumble stats for Jordan Mason, but I think coming into the season, most people had Stevenson ranked ahead of him for sure.
Sure. But I would also question... So we got talent. We would say talent edge San Francisco, correct?
Definitely.
How about scheme?
Scheme advantage San Francisco.
Yeah, probably in a blowout, maybe more than the talent.
Yes, although, I mean, their scheme didn't look great in the second half against the Rams, and that's not exactly a team that's
what
operating
kind of game
full
is that?
Strength either. What?
What kind of game is that?
That was a shootout.
No,
a
but
shootout
division
type game.
Division
and
games,
a division gets true.
The
and
knowledge,
added...
the intimacy, those are weird. We've seen them for years in this division and others. So I think that plays a factor there. To think that they're going to meet their scheme the same way that a common foe in the division does is probably a little bit overly optimistic.
That's fair. I do think that the Patriots defense probably is looking at this week like a week where they have a lot to prove. They've had two straight games now where quarterbacks really carved them up. I think that in the same kind of, not the exact same way because it's just one side of the ball, but like, the defense, I think, has the kind of pride that you're talking about with the 49ers that they have. They think we're better than this. We should be able to go out there and show everybody that. And I think this defense is probably going to take that same kind of mentality, right? Like, here we are. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be this good defense. We were good against Cincinnati in that first week. And here we are coming up against a banged-up 49ers team with a QB who this guy, Host One, doesn't think is particularly all that good. And we should be able to limit them. And that's something that I think they're going to be just as motivated to do as the Niners are going to be motivated to pound the Patriots. But we'll see which one ends up winning out there.
They definitely have motivation to prove something. Motivation that was apparently lacking last Thursday night. And if you believe Jerod Mayo, there was good energy on the practice field. He talked, that was like the first thing he mentioned in his press conference this morning, was the energy on the practice field and wrapping things up before they get on a plane and head to San Francisco. But, you know, I have this old cliche, Paul Perillo hated it. There's two problems. There's a want-to problem and a can't problem.
Right.
I think the Patriots defense will want to shut down the 49ers and want to stop them. I don't know if they can. They couldn't when they needed to against Seattle. They couldn't against the Jets. And the game against Cincinnati, they were pretty pretty fortunate the way that played out. So I actually think if there's an area of this team that has underperformed to start the season, underperformed from expectations, it's not Jacoby Brissett. It's not the offensive line. It might not even be the receivers. It's probably the defense. And the pass defense in particular that has
underperformed.
They were
the only ones with any expectations whatsoever coming into the season. You're right. And that has been an underperformance so far. Absolutely. We read about this about, a month ago or so, right around when the show first started. Happy 1 month anniversary, by the way. And it was one of the Niners.
Too many more.
Don't think we do. the Niners.
The newsletter.
Nope. One of yes, we did this week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
one of our clips is in there.
Woo!
I know, pretty exciting. I forget what the guy's name is, but one of the Niners beat writers said he had this big scoop about how Shanahan and what's his name, Lynch, are both really in the hot seat right now.
Yeah.
And how they're spending all this money, and they get all this money for Trent Williams and all this money for Brandon Ayuk, and they extended Christian McCaffrey, and they're just passing out money. Basically a Wick Irv Grosbeck situation right here is what you're getting. It seemed like if they don't make a deep run, maybe even compete in a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl this year, that could mean some sort of consequences for either one of those guys. Now, Schefter poo-pooed that when we asked him about it. But this was a local report, and I don't know. I mean, I was reading it, and I was thinking about what's happening here with the Celtics and looking at their books, and it's like, yeah, you know, that's a team with a lot of guaranteed money on the books right there that's just sort of plodding along and hasn't won anything yet. And I do wonder, like, you get off to a bad start this year. What were we just saying about the Cowboys dropping to 1-3? Like, that means you got to fire the coach if you're 1-3 losing to the Giants. If the Niners fall to 1-3 after losing to the Patriots, I bet you start hearing that again.
I don't know if you'll hear firings, but there's definitely going to be alarms going off in San Francisco. And the financial part you're referencing only gets harder because Brock Purdy going to get paid. After
exactly,
this season,
right.
You're going to start talking about paying Brock Purdy. And I think he's making $1 million or just under $1 million this
Can't
year.
Can't afford to live in San Francisco.
So yeah, you're talking about him getting a, 50-fold raise, 40-something-fold raise moving forward potentially. So yeah, I think there will be a lot of criticism, but I also think that Kyle Shanahan has a reputation, an aura about him. Like, there are the Shimes of the world think he's a genius, and they love him, and like, he's the greatest thing ever. And, you know, they probably play your side of the street in terms of Purdy, that Purdy's not that good. He's just riding Kyle Shanahan's coattails. But you're right. If we're going to say, oh, Zach Taylor's on Bill watch because they're 0-3, and Brian Daboll's on Bill watch because he's, 1-3 now, and these other guys, and the Cowboys were on life support with McCarthy, well, why don't we hold Kyle Shanahan to the same standard? He's got to look. Now, the injuries may save him. I think people may point to, you're talking about money. They spent a lot of money, and a lot of that money isn't playing, you know, with Debo being out, Christian
McCaffrey.
Yeah,
that'll help Lynch.
Out.
Will that help Shanahan so much? Like, maybe it won't.
I think
it won't help either of them.
I think it'll help. I don't think they are going to be on the hot seat any, because I think both of them will be scooped up immediately.
I agree with that.
And maybe as a tandem. Some owner might say, yeah, they didn't win it, but they built one of the best rosters and they always seem to be in it. And I'm, you know, if I'm David Tepper and I keep taking bad swings at this, like, well, that seems like a tandem that's proven they can work out there.
Right.
I think they would be scooped up very, very quickly.
All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's a Patriots Friday here, live at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse, which is where I'm sitting right now. It's a little morose around here, Andy. You're not missing a whole lot. I mean, everybody's packing it in. Everybody's backing up all their – I think that I saw the Netflix guys there packing up all their cameras and stuff. Haven't seen a lot of Tampa Bay fans walking around. Usually you see the opposing fans. It's a beautiful day. So you'd see them out here in the streets checking out Boston, checking out Lansdowne Street. Not a lot of buzz here this weekend, unfortunately, as the Red Sox have been eliminated. However, I anticipate that'll change tonight, if not tonight, over the next couple of days, as it is the send-off for Joe Castiglione. And I read today that there's going to be this big thing for him on Sunday during the game. It's going to be simulcast on NESN. All that's going to be pretty cool.
Can you believe it?
I cannot. I honestly can't. I can't believe Joe Castiglione's retiring. Like, I remember the announcement was it set in and everything, but now that it's like we're at that weekend, now that we're actually here, it's weird to think about.
I'll never hear swinging a pop-up ever again. Well, I mean, I'll hear it as a drop.
You'll hear it.
But not the real version. I do wonder, it's funny you brought up Netflix and the cameras and the documentary. I do wonder, because I feel like he should be a significant part of that. His voice should be a part, especially with it coinciding with the end of his career.
Sure.
And how important he's been to the franchise. And the way we always talk about, he can impart his feelings about a game or a trend without really saying anything, just based on the tone of his voice. I feel like he should be a significant voice in that Netflix documentary.
He got off me. We ain't tripping about that.
Good. Very good, Joe. That's it. This is the last three games that you're going to hear Joe Castiglione, full-time anyway, calling games. Now, that's one thing I've been thinking about. He's like, oh, at least for full-time, you're not going to hear him anymore. How many like guest games do you think he's going to do? Is he going to just pop out whenever and just do like a game here and there? Because I was wondering about that.
If I get my way, if you're right and they do nothing and they're another mediocre team next year looking to miss the playoffs for the fourth straight season, I guess he might enjoy retirement. But if I get my way and they make significant upgrades, and this is a team that's literally playing really important baseball in September and October of next, like a really good baseball team competing for the division, I think that might inject a little more reason for him to get back into the season. So it's
like
on you.
Bring
no
back
pressure. The playoffs, but even like meaningful
playoffs?
Run. You know, Yankees. If the Yankees and the Sox are battling for the division, maybe you can get some of those in August or whenever that would be. So no pressure, Craig Breslow. But not only do you have to rebuild a baseball team, but how much Joe Castiglione takes part in this franchise in the future is resting on your offseason.
Yeah, no problem. That's really no big deal at all. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here on a Patriots Friday. We'll continue with our Patriots talk. Alex Van Pelt spoke yesterday. We'll even talk about a Patriots path to victory, which I believe exists. And what would a 2-2 start mean for the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, and for the head coach, Jerod Mayo? We'll get to all of that right after Brian Frazelco tells you what's trending.